The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah! It's smashed.
Or something.
Oh, good morning, Basinonians. Indeed, Ron Wolfley reporting for duty. Doug Franz reporting for duty. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower. Ring the bell if you got it, ladies and gentlemen. You got it. High atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios. Ring the bell. The bells, 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 bells. The rolling and the tolling of the bells. Edgar Allan Poe. Boy, did you feel it this morning once again walking out?
I'm glad you're positive.
Are you kidding me? Walking out, and yes, you could feel it, the breaking. The breaking of the heat, ladies and gentlemen, the breaking of the weather. If, in fact, you're getting out early enough in the morning, oh, my goodness, you walk out and it is blissful. And you know what's coming, right? The fall. Ron Wolfley reporting.
The fall happened in Cincinnati.
The fall happened in Cincinnati. You know what? I'm going to continue to look at Labor Day weekend. I cannot help it. It's just so convenient to say Labor Day weekend, isn't it? Just the fact that they lost those three games the way that they did to the Dodgers of all teams, 3-2, losing all three of those games by the same score on Labor Day weekend and in the same fashion. And to look back now with time and space and perspective, that was it.
The Arizona Diamondbacks stink. And it stinks. Do you remember the 86 World Series? That wasn't the dark time.
Man, 86. No, but it was year two. I was a little busy. What was going on?
Year two at the NFL?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, that makes
a
sense.
A little busy.
The New York Mets beat the Boston Red Sox in 86. And I'll never forget.
Gary Carter.
They were very good, yeah. The New York Police Department was so scared about the bum rushing of Shea Stadium. They actually had horses. And the Yankees did it, too, when they started winning World Series again. Mounted police around the field. The Dodgers are going to clinch at Chase Field.
Yes.
Just feel it now.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to pee in the pool.
No, they're not going to. Going in the pool.
I want mounted police in front of the pool.
There is going to be police. You better believe it. Do you think Derek is not going to go ahead right now, D-Hall? I mean, Derek, you know what? Seriously. Why don't you just issue a statement. How about that, D? You just issue a statement saying right now there's going to be security around the pool. Because we all know that's going to happen, correct? They're not going to let them do it again. Fool me once, shame on you, right? Fool me twice, shame on me.
As you would say, violence is never the answer. But if you've rented that pool the Dodger series.
Never the answer, my young brother.
If you have the pool, you do have to stand your ground. If the Dodgers come bum-rushing your kid's birthday party, you need to defend the pool.
So wait a minute. You're saying if they're at the game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you leave, though? I mean, the game would be over. Like, remember, they came out late
last
time,
yes, they came out late.
Right?
Start throwing hot dogs at them? I don't know. But, I mean.
Defend yourselves.
I just.
And Chase Field.
It's.
And happy birthday.
This is an area where I get that you as a player and professional athletes have spent the bulk of the year working on their body, working on life to get right, to do everything it takes to try to win and all that crap. But this is where none of the players feels like we do right now.
No.
Because the Dodgers just took the division from you last year and you just gave it to them again this year, and then you've turned around, and then they whooped you in a playoff series, and you just took it, and then you had this opportunity to not let them win, and you just took it, and now they're going to come in here, and you're just going to give it to them again.
Yeah.
It was bad. There's 162 games. You need to bring effort every single night. You need to beat every team on your schedule, blah, blah, blah. But how do you, as a Diamondbacks player, I don't understand how you don't see the Dodgers and say, I hate them.
You know what?
I mean, beat them into the ground, and yet we just take it.
I hate the Dodgers, man.
We just take it.
Joe Boo waved it.
I mean, at some point, somebody, I don't get it. Somebody catch a fly ball.
Dave Roberts, man, stop and think about it once again. He waved it, man. He waved it around. He said it. We ought to take that. We ought to put it into a time capsule, an audio capsule, ladies and gentlemen. What Dave Roberts said all the way, when was that? Was that May? April?
That was late April when he said we're gonna be on top, and you know, when it's all said and done, we're gonna be on top.
Are you sure, Doug Lease, honestly, it was late April that he actually said that right there? Because it is disgusting that now all of a sudden it looks like it may, and I say may, come to fruition.
It was the series that we remember is the Dodgers. He said it before they came here. And then on April 30th and May 1st, the D-backs won the first two games of a four-game series at Chase Field. And that's when he said, tonight is the night it turns. And they took the next two.
What did he say, Douglas?
Tonight is the night it turns. And that was May. That was after. Or that was the morning of May 1st or May 2nd. And then they won two in a row against the Diamondbacks. Yes. And the Diamondbacks really haven't been competitive since.
Right.
They've been a below 500 team.
By the way, Basinonians, you know what today is, right? International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Army Day. Oh, my goodness. Do you remember when we... Ladies and gentlemen, right now I can tell you...
Why isn't it international, use the toilet, not our pool day?
There's a couple of things you need to know about Talk Like a Pirate Day. First of all, if you ever get into a hot spot, let's just say you're walking through some alley down in Phoenix, right? And maybe you're in a part of town you shouldn't be in. And suddenly there's some unsurlies, maybe. Is that what they're called? They're starting to... Well, I'm just saying, okay. they're West Side Story, all right? Maybe they're a gang. Maybe they're together. You know, maybe they're looking at you. What you need to do is just start staggering around, push something, whatever it is. Just grab it and start talking like a pirate. Arr, matey! My bilge red is killing me! Oh, my barnacles! Just start talking like a pirate. They'll leave you alone. Trust me.
I'll do that next time you get mad.
And if you ever want to break the ice.
It's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Talk like a pirate, man.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Arr!
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Matey.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning, the newest book, the newest article, the newest rendition of what's going on with the New England Patriots. Here is Ian O'Connor of ESPN on his new book.
It came down to Garoppolo's presence and also 17, 18 years of being coached in an unforgiving way by Belichick wore Brady down.
Ian O'Connor, in the making of The Greatest Coach in NFL History, a new book about Bill Belichick, talks about just how strained the relationship was, and it is true, according to him, that the missing of OTAs was about Tom Brady trying to decide, do I really want to go through this with Bill Belichick anymore?
Ah! Okay, it's Brady versus Belichick.
Number four!
Number four this morning, they're going to pee in the pool.
And a high fly ball on the left! The Dodgers are going to win it on a walk-off by Chris Taylor. 3-2, and the Dodgers lead the Rockies by a game and a half.
The Dodgers are bilge rats.
And in the game, no Dodger center fielder had the ball hit him in a glove and dropped it, and no catcher threw the ball into right field for the L.A. Dodgers.
This game honors you. It has a great way of doing that. And, you know, it couldn't happen to a better teammate.
That's about Chris Taylor and the home run.
Just don't want to hear Dave Roberts this morning.
Yeah. Number three!
Number three this morning, Antonio Brown decided to not come to practice. His agent said it was a personal matter. Mike Tomlin, what'd you talk about when you met with him?
He was not. No, I'm looking forward to visiting with him today and discussing that and some other things. I'm not going to get into the details of why he wasn't here or what whether he was excused and all of those things. I just assume leave those things in-house.
That means he wasn't excused.
Because I don't know, basically, is what Mike Tomlin just said.
Number two
this morning. It's kind of interesting. It seems like the Arizona Cardinals are involved in an awful lot of transactions now, trying to figure out, okay, who should be playing in different spots. And the reason why we bring this up is because of the fact that the two rooms we've been talking about a lot, the wide receiver room and the linebacker room, seem to be the two rooms where you're getting an awful lot of attention paid to right now.
No doubt about it. More changes coming.
And the loss of Elijah Penny, one of your favorites.
Man, I'll tell you, that is awesome for Elijah Penny.
Yeah.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, it happened again. D-backs, 9-1 losers.
Pitch with a lead and pitch in that type of a game, those are tough situations. But I expect more out of our offense. I expect more to come out of different situations, and we just are not getting it done.
Good to know we now expect more out of our offense on September 19th when we're out of it. Are the D-backs even competing anymore? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Nine to one. Final score last night for the Arizona Diamondbacks in their latest loss. And let's stop the charade right now. No more comments from Torrey Lovello talking about how magic can strike. That's what he said 2 days ago. Hey, magic can start tomorrow. And the reason why I cannot stand statements like that, because you're being dishonest when you say crap like that. And here's why. This is not magic. This is not competing. Andrees, Scherfey, Diekman, Bracho, Cook.
No.
Those were the pitchers that you threw out there. Now, when you're throwing, listen, it's none of my business whether you want to compete, but don't tell us you are and then do that. That's not competing. That's spring training, or that's preparation for 2019. I'm completely on board with preparing for 2019.
Yes.
There's no reason to prepare for 2018 anymore. It's over. But don't then in turn tell us that that's not what's going on.
Yes.
Because that's, you don't start a Matt Andrees and say, we're coming after you, Chicago. Here we go.
The first inning was disconcerting in and of itself, was it not, based on onions? The rest of the game, I think, was disconcerting. Maybe the month of September, for that matter. But apparently a wormhole formed over Chase Field last night after Matt Andrees threw the first pitch. I mean, did you see what happened in that inning, Douglas? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. With one out, Daniel Murphy on first, right? Jeff Mathis just threw it away, airmailing Goldie at first, allowing Murphy to move to third. Another error on a team that was elite defensively. And I know you've been talking about this for a while now, but it's just amazing watching this team fall apart at the one thing they were elite at. Well, actually, I mean, their bullpen, their bullpen was elite in the first half of the season. It was not in the second half, Ron Wolfley reporting. But to watch it fall apart defensively, the one thing, the only, if they were going to pick one thing the Diamondbacks were going to do well, to me, it was the defensive lineup that were going to run out there on a daily basis. The fact that that has fallen apart is shocking. And then you had Anthony Rizzo with a 17-pitch at-bat. What is the record?
I think it's 21.
It is 21, yes. Yes. Recollection. Mm-hmm. I forget who did it, but it's 21. 17 pitch at bat from Anthony Rizzo in the first. And then Javi Baez, the blast. That was just a butt scratcher, right? A predictable one, but a butt scratcher, because I say that, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Brenly was just, he just was all over it. He continued to repeat the mantra of don't throw him a strike. You had first base open, don't throw him a strike. And what happened? Matt Andrees threw him a strike, a slider on a 2-0 count. Gone. And I just was like, BB.
And you gotta be impressed because Javi Baez is one of the best baseball players Major League Baseball has to offer. At the same time, I watch this guy a lot drift mentally like crazy. And that kind of stuff drives me nuts. For him to sit there on the on-deck circle and to pick up every pitch of Matt Andrees and come to that at-bat as prepared as he was fantastic on his part. Here's Torrey Lovello after the game talking about the at-bat before Javi Baez.
Anthony's been doing that a long time. He shortens up. He's got a good two-strike approach. He's able to grind down situations just like that. I've seen it for a long time. Matt did a good job of not giving in. We got the out, which was crucial. I thought Matt just made a couple mistakes at the wrong time to the wrong guys, and they resulted in some long balls.
When you say you got the out, you did, but give the advanced scouting department an awful lot of credit on the out, because that was a rocket hit mostly back up the middle.
Yes.
And it just happened to be good scouting that had Nick Ahmed in the perfect spot for that. And then you have the Baez homer, and the Diamondbacks lose 9-1. And afterwards, Torrey Lovello said,
"We aren't shutting down. We aren't quitting. We aren't giving up. We still have 2 feet in this race. And I believe that something good can come out of this. Whether it's tomorrow or next year, I believe we're learning some valuable lessons that are going to help us move on and become the organization and the team that we need to become. Like I said, whether it's tomorrow or in the future, I don't know."
You know what? Honestly, everything you just said right there, I totally believe. I do.
You believe the beginning, though?
Just
we're not shutting down. We're not quitting.
I hope they're not quitting. I mean, honestly, I hope they're not quitting. I think we all can look at it and say, boy, you know what? It kind of looks like you're quitting. It kind of looks like you're out there and you're quitting, right? I hope that's not the case. I'd never expect a manager or a coach to get up in front of a microphone and say, we're quitting. I just never expect to hear that, ever. I don't care what sport we're talking about. But he is right about one thing. There is something to possibly be learned from this, isn't there? I mean, this entire September, I don't think it's just this game.
Yeah.
Obviously. I'm talking about the entire September, what's happened to me since Labor Day, once again. There is something to be learned by this. What are those things that are to be learned? That's the question.
Well, I think the hardest thing, and this has to happen, and I don't know who you point fingers at, but what I'm interested in is, what does the front office look at from a baseball character standpoint on certain individuals? And how does that feel? I mean, how many of these guys are choking because of inexperience, but you should still believe in them because they're going to learn from this? How many guys are just chokers and, hey, okay, we need to move on from you? How many of these guys are part of a rebuild, should or should not be? Who can you count on? Who can you not count on? And make the hard decisions that it doesn't matter if they're a good guy. And I don't mean you go get bad guys. I just mean, just because you're a good guy doesn't mean you can hit well. Doesn't mean you're a major league player. Doesn't mean you can field well. And what's going to happen going forward? And then the one thing for you is, I totally understand the idea that you go to your at bat with, okay, now you're focused. Now you're ready. And it's easy to say, okay, that guy hasn't quit. But I look at, are you getting the same jump on the fly ball? Meaning, are you so focused on this pitch that as soon as the crack of the bat happens, boom, you've got your read, you go? Or is there that split second of indecision because you weren't focused because you're in September and the team's falling apart?
Yeah.
And you say, no, I haven't quit. And then all of a sudden, physically, you're not quite there. To me, that's still quitting.
No, you know what? Honestly, right now, if you're not preparing the same way in September during this stretch as you were earlier in June, July, whatever, you quit.
There's
no doubt about it.
I'm with you. And I feel like I'm forced to believe either A, they were living a lie defensively and they weren't that good, or that's exactly what happened, that they stopped preparing the same, they stopped being the same as things got worse, they didn't get refocused and get better.
How else do you explain it?
Another option. I don't want to believe that they've choked, but I don't know what is the other options to say, okay, here's what happened. How was it not pressure? How was it not lack of preparation? How was it not giving up?
I'm not going to say choked. I'm going to say they went ahead and said, you know what? We're done.
Just
maybe win. That's what it was.
Just win against the Dodgers. Just that's all I ask.
We're
just
done.
Don't let them pee in the pool. Coming up next, who is the one player on the Cardinals offense that needs to step up versus the Bears? Wolf will shock you. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Game plan day. It's a Wednesday. That means Arizona Cardinals players coming to work and getting to know what's expected of them on a game plan sense to beat the Chicago Bears. And I hate to lower the bar because your job is to win, but this week it's, hey, let's just play football. I mean, let's just have a showing of a football team and look like an NFL football team. Let's get to there, and then we'll worry about winning and losing. And unfortunately, that's a major step up from weeks one and two. And did you do your normal heavy film study, Cardinals offense, Bears defense?
Yeah, I've started the process. There's no doubt about that. And I can tell you right now, there's also no doubt about the fact Sam Bradford's got to play better. Sam Bradford has got to play better right now, right? Listen, it's always the quarterback's fault, is it not? Is it not, Graybeard? Is it not Kurt Warner? It's always the quarterback's fault. And when you watch Sam Bradford right now, there's no doubt about it. Sam has got to play better. Now, listen, were there some wide receivers, Basinonians, that have blown routes? There's no doubt about that. They have done it. They have busted routes. Having said that, this is not something that's epidemic. Mm-hmm. It is not something that's epidemic with this team. It's more about Sam Bradford playing well than anything else.
Paul, you know better than anybody standing on the Cardinals sideline. And there are different forms of leadership, so I don't ask this question in judgment. But what is Sam Bradford like on the sideline? Whether, because there's no way you know, did the receiver blow it? Did Sam Bradford blow it? Did the O-line blow it? Whatever. But what is he like on the sideline?
It's a lot like Carson Palmer.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it's going good or it's going poorly. He's going to react the same way. He just sort of has that, I've been there, done that approach. And, you know, he's talking to guys on the sideline, but sort of like Carson, he also has the headset on and he's conferring with the guys upstairs. What are they seeing? And he's got the tablet and he's looking at that. And then, you know, he's talking with Mike McCoy on the sideline when he comes to the bench. But it's very businesslike, very professional. You know, he's not emoting and yelling and pointing and all that kind of stuff. No. I just wonder, you know, based on, you said game plan, you know, and if you take this week's game plan and you rip it in half, you just rip the thing in half and you just minimize and simplify and you just, I mean, Wolf, going back to what Todd Bowles used to say, right? I mean, they play teams, say, well, they have five running plays.
Right.
Guess what?
They have five plays.
Guess what?
That's what Todd always said.
Maybe that's what the Cardinals need to do. They need to reduce it to a handful of plays. Make sure that they master those plays and come out. You know,
it's so interesting to me, though, Paulie. You can use personnel, of course, and you can use formation and down and distance and things of that nature. You can actually disguise certain plays. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You can do certain things and do different things out there at different times of the game, of course, and yet you're still running a handful of plays for the most part, right?
All the eye candy that John Gruden talks about, right?
Yeah, execution is something that has been lacking with this team.
How about J.J. Nelson, by the way? Just throw him out there. They still have to respect the speed. I don't care if he's not going to catch a single ball. Just throw him out there to stretch the field for the sake of stretching the field. They still got to respect the 4-2-8. Don't you think there's benefit in just getting J.J. Nelson out there? Just send him on a 9 route every time, just for the sake of trying to open something up. Because what these teams are doing, you know, I mean, you know, the Rams, and you watch with the Bears and Matt Nagy, they're making you defend every blade of grass out there. Well, that's not the case with the Cardinals offense through two games. I mean, teams are able to inch up. They're loading the box. They're not respecting the deep shot. I mean, they're just hovering in the middle of the field, breaking up passes. I mean, make them pay for that. Take a deep shot.
No, it's a great point, Paul. It really is. And yet, once again, I'm not going to fault Mike McCoy because J.J. Nelson has not really separated himself as a receiver. So I understand the fact, you know, we're not going to just run about, okay, we're going to start J.J. Nelson. And I love J.J. Nelson and really just have been disappointed with his development overall. And I know he is as well, ladies and gentlemen, right? I mean, at some point in time, the 4-2-8 is great, but it's only great if you can stay on the field. And that has been the problem for JJ, of course, right? Listen, the offense for the Arizona Cardinals, Sam Bradford needs an awful lot of help. He needs help, right? But like every NFL team, it starts with a quarterback. Sam Bradford has got to play better.
And here's where the comparison with Carson Palmer ends. If you remember last year, just take last year. You can take any year, but take last year. And there he was in the first five games, and I still remember the stat. He was hit 50 times. Now, some of that was the Cardinals' banged-up offensive line. Some of it was BA's offense, the 5 and 7 step drops. But some, but a lot of it was just Carson being a tough guy and hanging in there. I mean, no, he never got enough credit for hanging in there. Oh. He'd been hit 50 times in five games, and he would hang in there, and he'd wait for that extra split second for the route. Kurt Warner would do the same thing, right? Hang on to the very end, and then just wait for that guy to... The Cardinals need more of that out of Sam Bradford.
That's exactly right, Paulie. I mean, it's a great example right there. Kurt Warner, the pocket collapsing. How many times did we see the pocket collapse around Graybeard and an arm come out of his scrum? Right.
Where is he? See him.
He still was keeping his eyes down the field, and boom, there comes the backside dig route.
Are you seeing the Wolf when you and great because you have access that the rest of us don't, and that's why I think a lot of people listen is. Yo. Are you seeing guys break open the split second after he's already decided I'm checking it down? Is he giving up on routes a little early?
I think he's getting rid of the ball sooner than he should have. Yeah,
okay.
I think there are some plays you could say that. Now, again, it's not just like that's the only thing. There are a lot of things.
You don't get shut out and have one problem.
Exactly right, Dougley. Sam needs a lot of help. He does. And there have been busted routes by receivers.
Mm-hmm.
There have been busted routes. David Johnson was talking about busting routes.
Yep.
David Johnson busted routes. And it's very difficult. You have to understand, Basinonians, first of all, getting beat physically in a football game happens all the time. Happens all the time. All right, now listen. You don't want that to be the case with you as a player. You want to win 80% of your battles out there. If you win 80% of your battles on a football field, you had an excellent game. Physically and mentally. But if you have two mental errors in a game, it's a horrible game. It's just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, and that's why David was standing in his locker on Friday still lamenting the Redskins game because he had blown two pass protections. Two mental errors right there. He offered that up to the media.
Yes, absolutely.
He was still mad with himself on that.
And that is a great thing that David is he's so conscious of it, and he wants to get better. You know what? Awesome, because he's got to get better. But I'm telling you right now, you have two mental errors, and suddenly a quarterback is looking at you, and you don't – he's not going to look at you the rest of the game. He's not. So it's not epidemic that wide receivers are busting routes. Sam Bradford has got to play better.
There are at least two ways you can blow those routes, right? I mean, number one, you just blow the route and you screw up the play. Number two, it's how you react to the defense. If you're not reacting and reading the defense as the receiver and breaking your route off accordingly.
Not every route is a read route. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, not everyone. But there are different manners in which it can happen where you can be out of sync with the quarterback.
Yes.
The Phoenix New Times is hosting the 19th annual Best of Phoenix Affair on Saturday, October 13th. And we've got a spot on our guest list for you. You'll enjoy food and beverages from over 40 of the Valley's restaurants, all inside the Van Buren in downtown Phoenix. Just visit the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com for your chance to win, and you might be able to read a 14-second buzz. Coming up next, one of the best receivers, if we have receiver problems for the Arizona Cardinals.
Hashtag snark.
At least they're showing up for work. One of them didn't show up at all for somebody else. He's supposed to be one of the best in the game. That's next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. I'm holding about 8 NFL stories that you're going to be interested in. So let's get to them so you know what's going on in the NFL. And then if we get through them fast, I have a little treat for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We'll see if how well we succeed. Okay, Mike Tomlin, what's going to happen? Antonio Brown told an old Steelers employee, trade me and let's see what happens, when the Steelers employee accused him of being a product of Ben Roethlisberger. He's seen on the sideline in their last loss arguing with the offensive coordinator, and people have reported that it was about touches and not getting enough targets. even though he got targeted over 15 times in the game. So when you meet with him, what's that meeting going to be like, Mike Tomlin?
He was not. No, I'm looking forward to visiting with him today and discussing that and some other things. I'm not going to get into the details of why he wasn't here or whether he was excused and all of those things. I just assume leave those things in-house.
As Mike Tomlin is discussing the fact that he was not at practice on Monday as expected.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because at first it seemed as though the Pittsburgh Steelers expected him to be at practice, and I don't know if there was even a phone call that was actually made.
Yeah.
I haven't read anything about that, a phone call being made, but you would imagine at some point in time, if in fact he was not going to show, he would have picked up the phone and called.
Yep.
Maybe there's a family issue that is going on with Antonio Brown. I don't know what it is, but you would imagine Mike Tomlin might be a little bit more specific in regard to whether or not they talked to him Monday.
I think if it was excused or something was happening in his life, they wouldn't tell us, but they would say, if we understand everything with Antonio Brown, we'll be fine. When you say, I'm not going to get into whether it's excused or not, to me, that means it's not excused. And then when Ryan Clark, who knows a lot about the Steelers, says,
this is a guy who is the best football player on this team and whose lead many people will follow, whether right or wrong, whether he should be a leader or not. Mm-hmm. And you can't have this type of behavior from your marquee players, from the people you have given money and in sense given the power to control the narratives outside of the locker room, but also the behavior inside.
Oh! Wow.
I love Ryan Clark.
That was kind of deep right there.
I love Ryan Clark,
right? You know, it's so true, though, honestly. Your best players, first of all, have got to lead and be leaders because they are your best players. Imagine that. You have to do before you can actually say. But I'll tell you what, you get a guy that says the wrong things. Now you got a problem.
Ian O'Connor, longtime ESPN writer, he's written a book describing how Bill Belichick and why Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. But there's a lot of information about the recent relationship between him and Tom Brady. Here is Ian O'Connor talking about Brady's feelings back in March.
I was told by a number of sources that as late March, Brady wasn't sure he was going to play again for Belichick.
This is so predictable. It really is, ladies and gentlemen, honestly. I'm shocked that it's taken this long. It's called pride. We all have it. We all walk around with it. Pick me first. Oh my goodness, what a massive failure I am when it comes to my own pride. But right now, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, in my opinion, they're prideful and they're locked in a battle, so to speak, of who's going to get credit when this whole thing is over.
Weird story from yesterday in which a letter was written and then shown to the media, namely by Eric Dickerson, claiming that if there aren't changes in NFL players getting full-time health insurance, especially the Hall of Famers, they would stop coming to all Hall of Fame events to simply be paraded around. And then some of the players on that list said, wait, we never agreed to be on that list. One of those people was Kurt Warner. So the discussion is what's going to happen next, and can ex-NFL players get guaranteed health care? This is Anthony Munoz, Hall of Famer for the Bengals.
I'm not sure if boycotting the Hall of Fame induction is the right thing to do because, like I said to begin with, I think it's about all players, not just Hall of Famers, and I think everyone should be included in this.
What I think this also is a power grab by Eric Dickerson, not in a bad way, but a power grab in terms of trying to represent retired players, former players.
It does seem like their only leverage. If you agree that that's where the NFL should be going, that's another discussion, obviously, but if you agree with it, well, then what else could those players do but use that as leverage?
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, I would disagree vehemently if, in fact, they did not show up to any Hall of Fame functions. I would.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would not be in favor of that. That would be a joke. But that's what this is about. Make no mistake about it.
And the last story is something to pay attention to because there's the positive side of Ryan Fitzpatrick just going off and doing great things for Tampa Bay. And who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Buccaneers after they host the Steelers on Monday Night Football, because Jameis Winston's suspension ends after this weekend. However, the woman in Scottsdale, known as Kate P., has officially filed a lawsuit as the Uber driver who is allegedly groped by Jameis Winston. I carefully say allegedly because obviously the NFL believes that it happened. And I bring up the story, we don't, you know, from a football context, and God bless the woman because that's 10 times more important than the game. But I'm looking at it saying, if this is now the timing of this, you think the Tampa Bay Bucs are just going to say, you know what? You worry about those problems right now, Jameis Winston. It's just one more reason to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
There's no way in the world they're going to move off of Fitzmagic right now, right? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you.
With all this going on. And it makes perfect sense, does it not, my brothers?
Come watch the ASU-UW game with Arizona Sports this Saturday at Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers on Scottsdale Road, just south of the 101 in North Scottsdale. We'll be giving away ASU gear, tickets to the Oregon State game, and other great prizes from Coors Light. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com.
Research and Doug. Research and Doug.
I try to watch about six or seven NFL games, about five or six college football games. They always have interesting stats on during the broadcast. And then you read a bunch of stuff. Peter King has some good stats, things like that. I formulate them. I give them to Maloney, and Maloney says, I like these. And then she tries to shock Wolf with them.
The shock factor.
Yeah, and of course the mic issues. Someday that microphone will work.
Man.
Oh, there we go!
Yay. Cool. So you guys were just talking about Tom Brady. So the only quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for six touchdowns in a game with less than six incompletions, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Patrick Mahomes. So last week wasn't Sam Darnold Tom Brady.
Yeah.
This week it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Patrick Mahomes right now, it looks real good for him, right? And I have to go back to last year as well, and the way that the Kansas City Chiefs were able to bring him along when you start up and you think about how they were able to do that. I think that has a huge impact on this season for Patrick Mahomes. So, once again, just because he's doing well, it doesn't mean that his career is set. He's got to continue to do it. Prove it to me. One season.
That's true.
All I ask.
But it also shows for all of us as Cardinal fans right now to pay attention to the patience with Josh Rosen. It's working in Kansas City right now to be patient with Patrick Mahomes and not play him much all of last year. Look at the way that it's going this year. But how about that game against the Steelers? To actually have six touchdown passes and have fewer than six incompletions. It's crazy.
I mean, also, it helps to have a wide receiver like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not
hard.
Travis Kelce running down the scene.
Exactly. So it's all Patrick Mahomes sitting out his rookie season, Doug.
Well, let me just say this quickly on that as well, Basinonians. Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky, those two guys in particular, we talked about the fact that the definition of a franchise quarterback was changing, and we've been talking about it for a couple of years now, two or three years. If, in fact, these guys pan out, they will have changed it forever going forward.
Speaking of guys to throw to, in their last 51 games, the Cleveland Browns have had the services of Josh Gordon for, how many do you think, Wolf, out of 51 games?
I'm going to say six.
Stop.
Did I get it?
You got it right.
I was going to say five,
so,
and I just said, why not go six, the number of man?
Yeah, in their last 51 games, the Cleveland Browns have had the services of Josh Gordon for six of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine if he plays seven games this year with the Patriots then? I mean, that in 51 games since Christmas of 2014, he's played in six games.
And, of course, what will be the first thing you'll think of if, in fact, he does play six or seven games?
Belichick.
How hard are you looking at Josh Gordon right now?
Yeah, that's true.
Or are you looking the other way?
That's good. Time for one more.
Since the Doug and Wolf Show started, the only two NFL quarterbacks to be sacked six times in each of their first two games are Joey Harrington in 2007 and Russell Wilson in 2018.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm proud of you.
What's
as a
your
duck.
Point?
I'm proud of you as a duck reading the anti-Joey Harrington
one. Now, if that said Marcus Mariota on it.
You wouldn't have read it?
No. It's crossed out before.
I see.
Joey Harrington, the first year of the Doug and Wolf show, and now Russell Wilson in 2018.
Yes.
The only guys that have been sacked in six times in each game of the first two games.
So is it the disparity between the two that we sit and point and laugh?
I kind of laugh.
Because it's just completely different ends of the spectrum.
I kind of laugh at the fact that it's so rare that it happens, and then it's Russell.
I
mean, a guy that you kind of look at as a running quarterback that should be able to run away from it and can't because that whole line,
that offensive line
just doesn't
still
get any better. No, that's a... No, hey, I'm not talking as a Cardinals supporter or a Redskins fan when I say this, but the Seahawks are not good. I don't see it getting any better up there either. Coming up next, D-backs playoff race. Yeah, that's just funny to even say that. We'll try to get through the funniness of it next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.